Welcome, everyone. It is with great honor and humility that I come to you. I do so by the mercy and grace of God. You know, there's many places we could have been today, many things we could have been doing. I am amazed sometimes when I drive on Sunday, I see the amount of people washing cars or at football games and all those different places. But I thank God for the opportunity for us to be here at his house, being able to acknowledge the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. The greatest blessing that God has given every human being is life. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your alarm clock did not wake you up this morning. It was the Lord that woke you up this morning. Everyone knows that there was somebody that didn't get up this morning. There was somebody bereaved this morning. Amen. Amen. So I come this morning to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be able to get up this morning. For allowing me to be able to stand as a humble servant to share his word. Amen. Man, I haven't been that good. You know, we put a lot of stock in going to school to accomplish so many different things. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're going to deal with something today that will explain the process of why we go to school, why we go through different things in life, why we learn different things. We're going to deal with some of those things today because it's important to understand that we are here as children of God, as human beings. We're here for a purpose. We're not here just to be here. Did you buy a car just to say, I got a car? No. You didn't buy a house just to say, I got a house, right? Now, you bought the car for the purpose of using the car for transportation. You bought the house because you wanted to have a place that you can call your own, or even an apartment or whatever it is, somewhere you can have that you can have your abode. Right? Amen? I want to acknowledge the Lord God, and invite him into this place because I want to honor him here, and I know y'all do too. I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for everything he's done, from coming to earth, going through all the things he went through, to die on the cross, to get up on the third day, to be an example of how we should live our lives as children of God. Amen. Amen. I want to tell him thank you. But Jesus says something that is so profound and something that is noteworthy at this moment. Jesus said, I go away and I'm going to come back to you. He said, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you're going to be also. And he told the disciples, he said, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. And when he comes, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. So this morning, I ask that you will surrender your hearts to the Holy Spirit so he can lead and guide you into all truth. That he can show you those things that God has prepared for you and those things which are to come. Amen? You see, we can't see everything God has in store for us. But God will give us a glimpse every now and then to let us know that you're not alone. You're on the right track. There are some things going on, but stay in there. Hang in there. Amen? And I want you to hear this and hear this real good. Because a lot of times we get caught up in the fact that people tell us that, Well, you know, once you get saved and everything is great and God want to bless you with everything, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to be point blank with this. In this journey, on this journey of serving the Lord, you're going to lose some battles. Amen. You're going to falter sometime. You're going to get weary sometime. Amen. But guess what? You hadn't lost the war. Amen. You got to get up and keep fighting. You got to get up and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because God said in his word, be not weary of what I'm doing. Because in due season, you're going to reap what God ordained for you. Amen. I also want to take the opportunity to thank all of you for being here. And I want y'all to know how important your presence is. Amen. You see, when you're trying to accomplish something, you look around to see if you have support. And I want you to hear me real good on this here. And I'm going to go back to the house. When you build a house, if there's no support beams in building a house, will the house stand? It won't stand. Amen. If you're trying to build a church, a business, a family, or whatever it is, if you don't have support, will it stand? No. Amen. So this morning, I thank you for your support. Amen. Because I know that without you, we won't be able to stand. Amen. Amen. I want to come to a place today to talk to you about something that has really been in my spirit. And the reason why it's in my spirit so strong, because God wanted me to say this in a way that would get everybody. I don't care if you're sitting here. I don't care if you're see it on the video, if you see it on Facebook, YouTube, whatever. I want you to understand something. My hope is that as you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you get stronger and stronger. Amen? Amen. That's my hope. And in order to do that, that means that you have to get on a consistent diet to be strong. Amen. I want you to hear this, and hear this real good. And it may sound simple, but it's not. I remember going to the gym and see people working out, right? And I knew exactly what part of the body they were putting more attention on. Right? If they were putting more attention on the chest would be a lot larger than the rest of the body. If they were putting a lot of attention on their legs would be more bigger than the other part of the body. So whatever they was concentrating on, that was the part that was getting bigger or getting stronger. Right? Well, what God is trying to tell us is this. I don't want you to just work on the legs or the arms or the chest. I want you to work on every aspect of the body to make all of the body strong. Amen? Well, Lord, how do we get there? How do we get to the point where everyone that's called by God's name, everyone that will come in and hear the word of God, how do they get stronger in every aspect of their lives? God said, you tell them this. And I'm asking you to focus with me on the subject, understanding your value. Amen? Amen? That's how you get strong. That's how you understand. That's how you know. Understanding your value. Amen? Amen? Understanding can be defined in many ways. There is to show a sympathetic or tolerant attitude towards something or to have the power of comprehension. Amen. Mm-hmm. When I speak of understanding in this lesson, I speak of the belief or inference of something to be the case. Now, I want you to hear that real good. Amen. Mm-hmm. See, when you come to the understanding that I'm strong in the Lord because I study my Bible, I'm strong in the Lord because I pray. I'm strong in the Lord because I fast. Amen. I'm strong in the Lord because I fellowship with other believers. Amen. I'm strong in the Lord because I go out and try to help other people to know who God is. I'm strong in the Lord because I go out and I began to allow God to use me for his glory. Amen. When I come to that place in my life, that's the understanding I'm talking about. Amen. Look, man, we can comprehend a lot of things. We can be empathetic to people. What I'm talking about is something that's a psychological thing. That is in your mind. It's made up that I'm strong because of. Amen. Amen. The reason why this latter definition is so important. We know that we live in a society where value is placed on everything. Amen. I remember last month going to the gas station. It wasn't complaining about the gas prices. I go now and I'm saying, is this real? Why is the gas so high? Amen. Amen. Well, I took a business course. In that business course, it teaches you about supply and demand. Amen. Amen. That's what they tell you. They're telling you that you have the supply side and you got the demand side. Amen. Amen. And they're telling me that the reason why the gas is going up, because so many people need it. And I got to hurry up and get out here and try to supply it. So that means I got to pay the truck drivers more money. I got to pay the people that's pumping the oil out the ground to convert it into gasoline. I got to do all these different things to make sure it gets to your gas pump. Amen. Amen. So that's why the gas prices are high. Don't get quiet. Because it sounds to me like y'all don't believe it either. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. You cannot put a value on somebody else's stuff. Let's be real about this. If I have a car and the car is sentimental to me and I want to sell it, I'm going to sell it based on the value that I have for that car, right? Mm-hmm. But another individual will see that car and say, well, I don't think it's worth that much. Well, to me, it's sentimental. It's valuable. I remember I had some good time in this car. This car that took me all kind of places. Really don't want to get rid of it, but I need to. So I want $1,000 for it. Somebody walk up and say, that car, to me, is worth $300. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to value. See? But I want you to understand something. That when we talk about value, we got to look at functional value. This is where product, service, focus on the convenience, right? Mm-hmm. When you hear somebody talk about an iPhone, I hear it all the time. You got an iPhone? No, I don't have an iPhone. Oh, man, you need an iPhone. Oh, it does this. It does that. Oh, he can do this. He can do that. That's great. That's what you like. You put value in it. I got an Android. I'm going to say it and proud of it. And I'm going to tell you why. This is what I do with my phone. I text. I call people. Amen. I take a few pictures. I receive pictures. I send pictures. I don't do too much with my phone. Amen. I don't take time to watch movies on my phone. That ain't what I do. And to be frank with you, the phone I have right now, I've been having it about 5 years. And the only reason I have it, because the people at the phone place that I bought it from, the phone I had before was discontinued. And they forced me to buy this phone. Amen. So the next phone I get, somebody gonna force me to buy it. Amen. Why? I don't have value in the phone like that. I just don't. Amen. But let me tell you this. When it comes to a Bible, a good one, value for me. That's value. Amen. See, you're not gonna come in here. If you give me a good Bible, I'm talking about one that, because I got a lot of Bibles at home, and my family can tell you my Bibles at home are all, because I use them so much. You know, I got pages kind of, you know, the cover kind of, I sit it on the shelf and get another one. So everybody knows that for Christmas, birthdays, things of that nature, they know how to make me happy. Get me a Bible, and we good. Amen. Daddy, get you an iPhone. Now get me a Bible. Amen. Now watch this here. Then we have the monetary value. Everybody knows that $1 and $100, those denominations have different value, right? I can go to the store and get, a handful of stuff with a dollar. With $100, I probably get a couple of bags full of stuff, right? With a dollar. Because of the value of that currency. That's monetary value, right? This monetary value, you see it in businesses. You see it in the way the marketplace causes things to fluctuate as far as prices. Amen. You can go to the store today and you can buy something. Now, I'm going to be frank with you. Now, I went to get a gallon of milk 2 months ago was one price. Today, it's different. Amen? Go back to what I said, the supply and demand. Amen? Now, watch this here now. Then there's social value. This is about understanding the changes that we experience in our lives. But how we value those experiences, but also use those experiences to apply different lessons to our lives. So when we go to going through things again, right, we know how to deal with it accordingly because we have been through it. We value that. Amen? Look, man, if I go out and I say, I'm going to Fort Worth, right? And I got a quarter tank of gas. Am I going to get out there and say, okay, I'm going to go out there and make it to Fort Worth with a quarter tank of gas? No, right? I'm going to try to figure out what's best for me to get to Fort Worth. And the value of me getting out there is, I go out and say, I got a quarter tank of gas, and I'm going out there, I ain't got no money, so I'm going to try to make it out there. So what happens is, I get to Fort Worth, I make it there. But guess what? I can't get back. Right? Right. Amen? But next time I get ready to go to Fort Worth, guess what I'm going to do? I done learned now that I'm going to need more than a quarter tank of gas to get to Fort Worth and back. So I'm going to get me a half a tank, all fill it up to go to Fort Worth so I can get back. Amen? Because I learned something. That's social value. I've learned something from those experiences that I've had. Amen? I remember growing up and looking at our family, and we all different. All of us had our different way of doing things or whatever. But we all, at the end of the day, would sit down at the table and eat. Talk about different things. Amen? And then I said, okay. So I learned from that. When I got older and started having children, guess what happened? I did the same thing. They're different, but at the end of the day, we're going to sit down at the table, we're going to eat. Amen? Now watch this here. Then, psychological value. This is what's important to you as an individual. Amen? Let me tell y'all something. I could ask anybody this question in the world, and I'll get the same answer. Who has the best mother in the world? Amen. Amen. Anybody in the world, you ask them who has the best mother in the world, they're not going to choose your mother. Amen. Amen. They're going to choose their mother. Amen. Amen. That's a psychological value of that individual. Even though people have children, they're not going to love your children like you're going to love your children. Right? Amen? Because you value your children differently than you value other people's children. You value your mother over other people's mother. They may have good mothers. I'm not knocking that. But they're not your mother. And your mother's the best mother in the world to you. Amen? Amen? Let me make something clear. There's nothing wrong with loving your parents and wanting nice things and living a life that God has purposed for you. But there's a misconception out here that we got to change. We have people believing that because you are successful, you're valuable. Amen? Amen. See, once I achieve something, I'm valuable now, right? Oh, once I get this car, or I get this house, or I get this promotion, if I get this, whatever it is, I'm important or I'm valuable now. But what God wants you to understand this morning is that you're already valuable. This is not based on the accumulation of things. This is based on who you are. You're already valuable. Can you imagine someone in a third world country that don't have food, don't have shelter, don't have a car, don't have clean clothes. And you telling them once you get all this, you're valuable. Amen? No, you're valuable. Whether you have a place to lay your head, you're still valuable. Whether you're driving a Lexus, Mercedes, whatever it is, you're still valuable. Amen? We have to change that perception that once you accomplish something, you become valuable. Because in God's eyes, all human beings are valuable. Amen? Amen? Amen. At this point, I would like to introduce a term, inertia. This term is something that I learned years ago from a friend of mine. And it talks about doing nothing or remaining unchanged. Amen? Inertia is always going to be a part of our lives. Always. And we have two options. We can either succumb to it or overcome it. Now, what did I say inertia was? The tendency to do nothing or to remain unchanged. Amen? As I stated earlier, my hope is that you can grow stronger and stronger in the Lord. Is that correct? So that means we've got to overcome inertia. That means that there are going to be times when you need to be studying your Bible instead of watching TV, right? There are going to be times you're going to need to be praying instead of talking to your friends. Amen. Because the objective is to do what? Get strong in the Lord. Right? Amen. I know that there are many of us that have been hurt, disappointed, betrayed, let down, and even abused. But then when you finally get to that place where it seems like you're going to make it now, when it seems like everything is working for the good in your life, all of a sudden something happens to pretty much take the air out of you, to make you feel like I did all this for nothing. Amen. I don't know about nobody else. I've been there. I done been there, man, where I'm going along and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and everything working out. All of a sudden, just like that, something changed in my life. And before I know it, I'm looking around saying, man, what happened? I feel like I'm lost. What do I do? This lesson will help you rise above inertia and come to understanding your value so you can become confident in who you are as a child of God. If you have your Bibles, look with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 8, beginning at verse 1. I won't hold you long, amen, but I want you to understand something. You have to understand your value. Don't allow other people to place value on you. You understand your own value. Amen? Amen. Psalm 8, begin at verse 1. There you will find these words. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your glory above the heavens. In this passage, the word Lord, I want y'all to hear this real good now. The word Lord with the uppercase L is Adonai, which is plural. And it's speaking of the Trinity. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, meaning master or owner. It emphasizes the Lord's sovereign authority, the majesty of the only true God. Amen? Amen. That second verse says, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Because of your adversaries, that you might silence the enemy and make the revengeful cease. We must understand something. That there are those that want to disqualify God. But what God has done, he has established the gift of life to show his strength. I don't know about anybody else, but I know personally. When my children came into the world and I'm standing there and seeing this new life coming to the world, I didn't think about the doctor. I didn't think about how good I was or my wife was. I was so amazed by that new life coming to the world, I couldn't help but say, man, it got to be a God. Amen? Amen. Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, God going to be glorified. Amen. Third verse says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have established. This is a moment that has captivated so many as it did David. He was the astronomer, physicist and engineer Galileo, who has been called the father of observational astronomy and opened the eyes of the world to a new way of thinking about our solar system and astronomy in general. Now I want y'all to hear this real good. Because for many years, and I'm talking about many years, the church, the Roman Catholic Church, had people believing that the earth was the center of the universe. Amen. That everything revolved around it. Galileo questioned it. Now, he could have allowed that word I'm looking for again, inertia. He could have sit back and did nothing. Huh? Now, y'all know where I'm going with this, right? When you understand your value, you're not going to be able to sit back and just let stuff just set. You can't just allow stuff to be said and you know that's not right. Amen. Amen. Galileo challenged the status quo. Amen. He said that it was incorrect. He said that the earth and all the other planets revolved around the sun. Amen. People don't understand this. Let me tell you how deep this is, how deep this is in the church. The church used astronomy to fashion the calendars. The church was involved in so many different things when it came to science, astrology, medicine, all these different things. They did. But there were people that stood up to the church and said, no, that's not right. Galileo was one of them. Amen. He was not the first to invent the telescope, but he made him a telescope, and he was able to look out into the universe and began to gaze into space, and he discovered that the moon had craters and mountains, and he found out that the Milky Way wasn't misty lights, but it was a made up of thousands of stars. Amen. Galileo challenged the status quo and said that this is not what that is. It's different. Let me show you that if we open our minds and our hearts to what God is trying to get us to understand, we will find out something. This intrigue, this level of intrigue that Galileo and David possess caused us to be able to be here today, look at the universe totally different and benefiting from it. Because a lot of the modern technology that we are enjoying today come from these people and their discoveries. Amen? When you go out and start looking at the world differently, you're able to see that, you know what? Nobody talked about heart transplants back in the day. Amen. People thought sickness was, well, you know, if you sick, that means you got an evil spirit. They weren't talking about heart transplants, and they weren't talking about blood transfusion, all those different things. But what God did was, man, God opened the minds of other people to say, no, don't sit down on the sideline and allow these things just to be as it is. Challenge it. Make it change. Understand your value. Because I created you for something. For what, Lord? To change some things. Amen? This leads to verse 4. David asked the question, what is man? But you are mindful of him. And the son of man that you care for him. Now I want y'all to hear this real good now, because he's saying something here. He's saying that I have sat down and I've considered the vast complexities of the universe. Man, I'm not talking about no anything. He's not comparing a man to another man, is he? He's not comparing man to this, his wealth, is he? He's not comparing him to education, is he? He's comparing him to the complexities of the universe. And he says, Lord, what is man? That you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that you care for him. Amen. When you compare the vast complexity of the universe and all its splendor, this question has merits. How do you measure us, human beings, with all our flaws, man, to the vast complexity of the universe? Amen. I don't care what you say or what you do. Guess what? The sun is going to do what it does. It's going to rise. Amen. I don't care how faithful you think you are. You're not faithful than the sun. The sun is going to show up. The moon is going to show up. The stars, they're going to show up. Amen. And David asked God, said, wait a minute, now how is it that I'm looking at all the things you created with your hands, how perfect they are, how obedient they are. They're not rebelling in heaven. They're not rebelling in the heavens, man. They're not rebelling in the sky. The only time you see the sun and the moon come around each other is called an eclipse. Amen. How often does that happen? That's not every week, is it? Every month? No. Amen. But God answered the question in that fifth verse. Despite all our flaws, missteps, rebellion, etc., the answer is given to help us understand our value. Yet you have made him a little lower than angels. God made humanity a little lower than the angels. And have crowned him with glory and honor. God has crowned humanity with glory and honor. Made him a little lower than the angel. But watch this here. That sixth verse says, you made him to have dominion, the power or right to govern and control over the works of your hand. You put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, and beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. Amen. With all our imperfections, all the things we do wrong, God still empowered us to be the best that he ordained us to be. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says, God made man in his image after his likeness. It was that God has entrusted us to be like him. There's no other creation or creature in God's creation that's made in his image after his likeness but us. Amen. We're the only one that's supposed to represent him. We're the only one that's supposed to love like God. We're the only one that's supposed to forgive like God. We're the only one that's supposed to go the extra mile like God. Amen? We're the only ones. But if you don't understand your value, you get caught up in, it's about me. It's about what I gain. Let me tell you something. Hit me real good on this. When God bless you, care what your job is, to become a blessing. Amen. That's your job. When Jesus came to earth, he came to remind us of our value. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Who gives a ransom for something that's not worth anything? Jesus died because you're worthy. Because you got value. Amen. He didn't just die just to be done. He died because you have value. But you have to understand your value. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20 says, or do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. And therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is our God's. Amen? In other words, you belong to him. God knew that we as children of God, we fell into sin through the sin of Adam. And everybody became a sinner. But Jesus came and redeemed us. That we don't have to be sinners anymore. That we can be the righteousness of God. Amen? But you got to think about something. If there's no value in you, why would I come? If you're not worth anything, why would I come? See, the devil got people believing that all I am is a dope addict. All I am is an alcoholic. All I am is a liar. All I am is a cheat. That's not who you are. You have value when it comes to God. But I want you to understand your value. Amen? He said he had crowned you with glory and honor. He gave you authority over everything that he created. You got value. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that the devil is going to always try to make you believe that you're not worthy. Let me tell you something before I close. I'm not concerned about what other preachers do. I'm not concerned about their credentials. I love all of them because we're all brothers in Christ. But I'm not trying to be somebody else. I'm William. And I know my value. Amen? When I go to a place to minister, I don't go as this person. I go as who I am. Because if I go in as someone else, what happens? I'm going to have missteps because I'm trying to be like somebody else. God did not call me to preach to be somebody else. He called me to preach to be who I am. Amen? Y'all got to understand something. When God brought you into the body of Christ, he knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you possess. And God knows how to get out of you what he needs out of you. But you got to get that mentality that I talked about earlier. That you know and understand what your value is. You got to understand your value. Not my value, yours. Amen? And when you understand your value, guess what you start doing? You start talking like that. You start walking like that. You start acting like that. Amen? When somebody called you, let me show you something now. I remember growing up, and we had these people that we call holiness people. I don't know if y'all heard about them, but I'm telling you right now, they're holiness people. They were the ones that were wearing the dresses, had the tangerines, and they going to church, and they out there shouting and all that. Well, the conservative people in the Baptist church, Catholic, they wasn't doing all that. But the people that was doing that, they call them holy rollers. Amen. Well, I'm looking at all of it. But what I discovered was, it wasn't about the tangerine or sitting in the conservative church. It was about my lifestyle. It's how I was living. That's what made me a child of God. Amen. Look, man, I can stand here and preach. I can sit over there and sing. I can do all them different things. But my lifestyle is where the power comes. Amen? And I say that because I understand my value. I understand that if I do what I'm supposed to be doing, I become more valuable to God. And then God is able to entrust me with that much more. Amen? Let me tell y'all a story. There was this man. And he had this lady he liked, and they was like in a small little community, and he liked this lady a lot. But he would go down to the corner store, and he would watch the woman every day. But he was too afraid to go and talk to her. So finally, the lady seen him, and she walked up to him and said, "Look, I noticed you've been watching me." She said, "Do you want to walk me home?" So he walked her home, and they're talking or whatever. Over the years, they got to know each other, and he went to war. While he had war, they write letters back and forth to each other, and the guy got into a situation where he got hurt, and he could not make children. So when he got back, he felt he wasn't good enough for the woman, but the woman still loved him. So the woman married him, knowing that he was not going to be able to give her kids. But the lady had a passion. She loved art. So he would go out and he would buy this woman all this art. She had a good eye for art. But she see a piece she wanted, he'd go get it. Just to keep her happy, make her happy. Because he loved her so much. Right? Well, the lady died. And the man had all these paintings of this lady that the lady had went and picked out. And the man, years later, he died. And it took all his paintings and had an exhibition where they was going to auction all of them off, and they had them all around the room. They had people come from all over the place because they knew that the collection he had was some great paintings, very valuable. And so the auctioneer comes up and he's standing there telling the people about the auction. He's telling them about what's going to be auction. And he got the little book. You know how they got the little book and they tell you the history of the paintings and all this. And the auctioneer steps up and he puts up a painting of the man's wife. And it wasn't a great painting of her. It was just a painting that somebody had just did. And put it up there and said, "This is the first one that we're going to sell." The people start cringing in their seats. "When are we going to get to the good paintings? I don't want that. None of them wanted that painting." Lady that knew the guy said that painting of his wife, out of all those paintings, was the most important thing, the most valuable to him. But she didn't have the money to buy it. So her boyfriend bought it for her. So he went back, bought the painting, got the receipt for it. Once he got the receipt, auctioneer says, "The exhibition is over. The auction is over." Everybody like, "What's going on? What's going on?" Well, the guy had a stipulation in his will that whoever bought that painting of his wife, he was going to give them all the rest of them. Amen. You know why? Because those were valuable to other people. What's the most important thing to him was the picture of his wife. Why am I telling you this? I don't care how vast the oceans are, how beautiful the skies. I don't care how beautiful nature is. I don't care how beautiful things is in this world. That painting is you. That's who God sees. Out of everything God created, you're the most important thing. Understand your value. Amen. I want to thank God for everything he's doing and all he had to do. And I want to tell y'all right now, I appreciate y'all. I really do. And I emphasize the fact that I want you to understand your value. Amen. And understand your value to God as well as in here. Because I'm telling you right now, we're on our way somewhere. Amen. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, let it rest, rule, and abide in us henceforth and forever.
Live a child of God, signify by saying, amen. Amen and amen.